Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with a Survivor exit interview and a little different, not the last player voted out, the latest player evacuated from Survivor 46 after medical pulled Randon Montalvo. He will be here in just a moment to update us on how he's doing and everything from his game in Survivor 46. So excited to talk with Randon. And then, of course, you know, Jordan Kalish will be here for this week in Survivor history and all season long. I am taking on the trivia titans of the new era and little twist where each week I am putting up $100 for the charity of the player's choice. And last week, since I beat Marianne Okich, that money rolls over. So today, I'll be putting up $200 for the charity of Brando Meyer from Survivor 45. So we've got Randon and Brando here today in one exit interview podcast. Of course, last night had Rick Devins on to break everything down. Very fun to catch up with Rick. And then on Thursday afternoon, I'll get into everything with Stephen Fishback on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Of course, if you're subscribed to the podcast, you're doing great. Of course, you could watch this and everything I mentioned on our YouTube channel at robhasthewebsite.com/YouTube. All right, let's get into my interview with Randon. He's standing by. Let's bring him in. Hey, Randon, what's going on? Rob Cesternino. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling healed. I can wave with both hands. It's a good time to be alive. I'm doing well.
Yeah. Well, this really came out of nowhere for us, the viewers, probably for you two in the game. How long was your arm like that before you ultimately got pulled?
I would say that it was the night before. What you see is when I started to feel it. There was a really bad storm, and yeah. I was struggling to kind of realize what was happening to myself. I was in massive pain, trying to act like I wasn't. I was delusional. I was having a lot of like pain behind my neck, and I didn't really understand what was happening. I would say the night before, what you see, and during the challenge, is when I started to understand that this was a lot more serious than I thought. I thought it was something where, you know, when you sit down too long and you get numb.
Yeah.
But then I started to realize that there were more serious things going on with my body and my head.
Okay. So we saw you leave the game, go have the MRI. What was the treatment plan like for you once you went through the exams?
It was pretty insane. When the exams came out, they determined that the fluid, the abscess or whatever it wasn't touching the disc enough for me to go to emergency surgery, because I would have to get flown to Australia for that. So what they did was they put me immediately on anti-inflammatories and then put me on like a therapy regimen with somebody for my arm to keep on exercising my arm. And then the anti-inflammatories were immediately put on me, and it took days and days and days. And I would say it took months for my arm to get back. It took about months, but the swelling was, I would say about days, the swelling started to go down to the point where it wasn't scary anymore.
Yeah. So it would not have been possible for you to return to the game after a scan.
No. I had no function of my right arm. Zero. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even feel pinches, nerves. I couldn't feel anything. I couldn't even clench my, if you notice on the video, it's like some kind of crab claw. Like, I'm not doing that on purpose. I literally can't open my hand or move my arm. And really, really freaky thing. And yeah. Then with the swelling, when you see it, when you're looking at the show, you should notice that I'm not moving my head much left and right aggressively. And it's because every time I'm doing that, I feel like a massive pain behind my neck that's shooting up my spine. And I had a migraine, like the largest migraine you have ever imagined. It was pretty painful. I could not continue. I couldn't play that game like that.
Okay.
I would have. Don't get me wrong, I would have.
No doubt. So, Brandon, we know you found the Beware Advantage. We saw you talk about it with Venus. I'm sure a lot of people have questions about, was there any thought about handing off the Beware Advantage? And can you even pass off a Beware Advantage?
Yes. So you are. Yes, there was an effort for me. I had talked to Venus and I said, hey, listen, I respect your game. I understand that a lot of people may not understand your game. I do. I think you're here for amazing reasons. I want to give you this Beware Advantage because these guys are probably, they have a more of a cakewalk than you do at this point. And I always go for the underdogs. So I was like, I'm going to give you this Beware Advantage. I respect you. She said, yes, I want it. I'm like, I have to get to my blazer. I had this like ridiculous blazer and I'm trying to get to the blazer. And for the universe, for some reason in the universe, I could not get to my blazer by the time Jeff hit that beach. And she came into agreement at that point that she wanted it. It was initially kind of like uncharted territory. So I'm asking people, hey, can you do this? It's not in the rules. There's nothing on the advantage that says untransferable, which I'm pretty sure they're going to put now. But it says not, there's nothing. So I said, hey, I want to give this to Venus. And they're like, well, it's never been done before. I'm like, I want to give this to Venus. So I'm like thinking in my head, it has to be handed to her. So I did not know that I could have verbally done it or anything to that nature up until a certain point, kind of uncharted territory.
Yeah.
But I had a 1000% goal was to give it to her. And unfortunately, kind of like I was going to slip it to her like a, you know, like a handshake. You know, I was going to make it obvious and tell everybody because then she would have been, have been a waste of time.
Yeah.
But I had intent to give it to her.
Brandon, did you tell her or show her the location of the box that was there? Because, I mean, technically, you just had a clue. I mean, the box and the idol is still on the island.
Yes. So I actually did. That was something I guess that wasn't shown. But so where the box was, I had coconuts and I told her that I made a X with, with coconuts. I was like, you're going to see three palms covering something next to a tree. There's going to be three palms that are in an X.
Yeah.
And I said, beneath those palms, there's an X of coconuts. I made a line of coconuts, but you only see them if you remove the palms. So she knew that there's a tree with X palms and X shaped in the X. So she knew where it was.
Okay.
I didn't show her, but it would be it would be really, really obvious if you know what you're looking for to spot where that box was.
Okay.
Because I left it where I found it, of course.
All right. We'll keep an eye out for that. Can you tell us a little bit about the politics of the Nami tribe and how you observe them during your time there on the show?
Yes. I mean, it's the curse of winning. You become, the problem with not going to tribal is that you get like paranoia. It's like it's like this winning paranoia where you don't know where the lines are drawn. So the politics of the game at that point, nobody knows where these lines are drawn. So everybody's starting to panic. And sometimes you're panicking over things that don't even make any sense. Like you'll see multiple times Venus talking about voting this person. I'm like, we're not going to tribal. Like this is not going to happen. It's not plausible. You know what I mean? Or you'll see me, I'm wanting to target Soda at that point because she failed my test when I first got there with that poverty light comment troll. That was the whole purpose of that. I couldn't trust her. And it got back to me immediately.
Wait, so that was a test. That wasn't a true random observation.
No, that was a troll. So when we got to the island, introduced ourselves, she told me she's from Canada. Soda, I wanted to bond with Soda first, but she was selling real estate pretty hard. Like trust real estate with everybody.
Estate. I've never heard that term before.
Oh my God. She was like, like bonding with them. I'm from here. And Soda's like a hyper social player. And I realized that I wasn't sure if she was being like genuine with me at some points. So I said, I need to give you a test. And I made a troll because she was only talking to one person at that point. Venus was pretty, her going back and then Tevin and her were pretty good, but Tevin was all focused on Hunter. So I said, all right, you're from Canada. I'm going to have to invoke the name of one of the goats just to, that's all I got. I ain't got much. You know what I mean? I don't know where this person's upbringing is. So I said, hey, she's going to pay like a little, because the day one we're there, Venus shot out and was hyper aggressive with searching for idols and everything. And I understand, it was very, very aggressive. So I was like, hey, Sodups, she's going to probably pay like a poverty like gameplay. What happens immediately? Couple moments later, it gets back to me. And I'm like, Soda, immediately, I can't trust you. I am immediately switching everything to vote out Soda at that point. And I will work on Venus with working Tevin, and Venus will work on keeping Soda at bay from me.
Okay.
And that was the plan.
If you went to a tribal council, how do you feel like it would have gone?
This is a very, it's hard because you don't know where the numbers would have ended up. I don't know. I know that at that point I was trying to convince Tevin to vote Soda. And I think Hunter would have aligned with Tevin's decision. And I think Liz would have voted with the numbers. And I think that, because I told thee, I said, listen, I value the alliance up until this point. Anything is going to flip. As soon as we got to merge, I fully expected Venus to flip. I did not have this idea that, I mean, I would have liked if we could have remained an alliance to the end, but the odds are just not, the way we both play and we're over analytical players, I think the odds were very low for that. So it's like kind of like a one-time kind of deal for that situation, and we'll see how it panned out. But I think we could have got Soda out. I love Soda, but she was, to me, she was my threat because she did not return the trust favor with my troll.
Yeah.
So I think we would have voted. I think we could have avoided Venus being a target, and we would have voted Soda based on my perception of the game.
Yeah, that's very interesting because I feel like that we have not really seen that from what we're being shown in the episodes, because it looks like we see that Tevin and Soda have a relationship, and really that Tevin and Hunter have a relationship. But is it a false leap to think that Tevin, Soda, and Hunter are a three?
Ah, well, that's hard for me. I can't go into full details, but I can say that I talked to Tevin extensively. I had conversation with Tevin that you'll see there in the last episode. And I was underneath the impression that Tevin saw value. I told Tevin this: Tevin, you and Soto are hypersocial players. There can only be one.
Yeah.
I said, we go far in the game. You can outtalk everybody in this game. And I was like, but Soda would be a problem for you. And that was the whole agreement I made with V. Was like, I'm like, Venus, I will try to work Tevin to vote Soda out, but I need you to keep Soda at bay from ever mentioning my name. You know what I mean? Forever. I just need to know information from Soda. That's it. I don't trust her. And I think it would have worked. And I think the alliance was Hunter, Tevin, and Liz. Liz would have aligned with them. And I think we would have gotten Soda out at that point.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Liz. I'd love to just talk a little bit. Where does she fit into everything? We've seen just like a couple of comments and how people are perceiving Liz, but we haven't seen where Liz fits into the strategy at NAMI.
Interesting. So Liz is playing a very intelligent game. So to me, I realized that by throwing people off by saying lifestyles of the rich and famous comments and quotables, but look, nobody views her as a threat. Right. I mean, everybody's just kind of like at that point, she's playing a very smart game with kind of diminishing her social game, and people, you saw Tevin, like, I'm here to play for money. You know what I mean? Like there's a constant understanding of like, why is Liz not a threat? And I think that was her game at that point. However, Liz was very smart. I talked to Liz at the log. If you notice in the last episode, I talked to her many, many times, like by that log and stuff for coincidentally. And I think Liz's game at that point was to kind of be background and let us kind of like fight ourselves, you know. But she was, in my opinion, Liz is a very, very intelligent player. She was going to align herself with Hunter and Tevin 100%. Whatever they voted, I think she was going to vote. And I think that she was open to me joining that crew, you know, and voting however we saw fit at that point. I think that I think it's safe to say that she's playing a very smart game just in the background.
You all had to decide who went on the journey in this episode. Was there any talk before you went to the challenge about who you might select if that comes up?
I don't remember. And I think we kind of picked that on the whim. I don't remember having a detailed conversation of that. Then again, I was going through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really going through a lot. I was kind of very confused, but I don't remember having an intense conversation about that. I think we automatically knew Liz was going to be the person to go.
Yeah. And the selection of Banu.
Oh, I didn't know that. That was Liz. That's all Liz.
Okay.
That was all Liz. I don't remember Liz strategizing on that, but it was a beautiful pick.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful pick. I mean, that was like, I looked at Liz but that's what I'm trying to tell you about Liz. People sleeping on Liz. She is a very strategic,
not me.
Not me. Exactly. She knew what she was doing. And yeah. Kudos to her. Because a lot of people didn't pick that up.
Okay. Then I want to ask you about in your preseason interviews that you did a great job. Love listening to you talk. You're a great storyteller. You told us about how your daughter wanted to have a number one party for you. They did not have faith for you. Upon your return home, Did your family feel vindicated, or did they feel like that, okay, actually dad did have something going on, just had some bad luck?
I'm glad to report that it was a lot of love and a lot of, first it was confusion, because you got to understand, I'm like, did you get voted out? I'm like, no. They're like, okay, so when's that direct deposit coming in? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, let me explain. I didn't exactly win, but I didn't get voted out. So then it was like, oh, medevac. Okay. So it was more love and understanding at that point, because they knew, first of all, I wasn't the first voted out, which, woo, thank the Survivor universe for that. But I don't think I was ever going to be voted out first, to be honest with you. It was just at that point, that's what their position was, because we're very competitive. We're a very loving, competitive family. My daughter runs track. I ran track, swimming. We're very competitive, and it's love. You know what I mean? It's like pushing me to do better. So when I came back, it was more working on my therapy with my arm. We had a great time. They were very receptive of my injuries and my mental kind of like issues out there with all the pain. And to be honest with you, it was a breath of fresh air to finally have them not be competitive. And they were just loving with open arms, with both arms.
Okay.
And it was great.
Yeah, both arms, great. Maybe not $1 million, maybe 1 million hearts. Okay, I know you got to run, Randon. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for making time, okay?
Pleasure, always a pleasure.
All right, take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. A pretty informative interview with Randon. So great job. Yeah, I do think he is like a really interesting guy to talk to. I had thought in the preseason that he was maybe not in the best tribe for him, but I thought he seemed like a pretty capable player. I know a lot of people were kind of down on Randon in the preseason, but he seems like he was a pretty sharp guy. Seems like that he was set up pretty well there, maybe even better than the show. Although Stephen will tell you that the exit interviews are not always canon, but it seemed like that he was, pretty well insulated there. Seems like that he had a decent enough alliance. Really paints probably a worse picture for Soda than we're getting on the episodes, where it makes it seem like that she is potentially a threat if Nami goes to a tribal council, a threat to go home if Nami goes to a tribal council. So we'll keep an eye on that. But very nice to get to talk to Randon. And he definitely puts to an end any sort of speculation about, okay, he could have come back to the game in some way, shape, or form, because it sounds like that he was dealing with a pretty gnarly injury to his arm. So happy to hear that he is feeling better, and appreciate him making some time for us here today. All right, we got Randon down, Brando coming up. So you're going to want to hear this. We've got Brando Meyer playing for $200 for charity in Survivor Trivia when we come back right after this.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, everybody, very excited to be back here once again for this week in Survivor History Trivia here, answering all questions about episode 3s in Survivor History and all season long. I am taking on the titans of the new era in trivia, and back here with me to talk about it, Brando. Brando, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Rob. Thanks for having me. I've, been up to all sorts of crazy stuff lately. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. Excited to hear about it. Of course, here with a man who is up to all sorts of crazy shenanigans each week. It's Jordan Kalish. Jordan, what's new?
It's great to be back, Rob. And Brando, it's great to be on a stream or on a video with you, where I don't have to worry about you being some sort of demon or some sort of evil person. I could fully trust you going into this game.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. You're not worried that I'm rooting for Asians?
I am not worried about that at all. And
that
and,
might be a little too inside baseball now, where the people that listen to the podcast don't know you're referring to a Twitter account.
Mm-hmm. Oh, true, true. I gotta clarify. Gotta clarify.
At, you could put the at
put an at sign
Asians.
There.
At rooting for Asians.
At rooting for Asians. No,
we're all rooting for Asians.
We're all rooting for Asians, but we're not all rooting for Asians.
Speak for yourself. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
Legally, that was a joke.
Okay. All right. Brando has been very busy since Survivor 45 that he is streaming away on Twitch. Brando, what kind of Twitch streams are you running?
All sorts of stuff. Survivor trivia, Pokemon shiny hunting, Pokemon challenges.
What's a shiny hunting?
Shiny hunting. So there's like a really, really rare chance that you get a Pokemon, which is a different color, usually like a cooler color, like a better scheme, like a gray Pokemon might be like teal or something like that. And so the odds are really low. I think it's 1 in 4,000 base odds roughly to run into a shiny Pokemon. But there are strategies that you can use to increase those odds. And so obviously, you know, master strategist on Survivor, you know, dominated in every tribal council I went to. So strategy for Pokemon is pretty fun to lean into. And been having a lot of fun.
What happens when you get the shiny Pokemon?
Literally nothing. It just looks different. That's it. I've spent hundreds of hours just looking for different color Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all, though, right?
Gotta catch them all.
That's what they say. Okay. And that's how we feel about the podcast, right, Jordan? Catch them all, because Jordan Kalish is going to be here to play this week in Survivor Trivia. And this season, we are welcoming in the Titans of the New Era, and we are playing for a good cause, because Brando, at stake this week, I beat Marianne last week. And
I saw.
Means the charity prize pot has rolled over and there is $200 at stake
for your
charity.
My charity is the Alzheimer's Foundation of America.
Okay. Great charity. Great cause. $200 on the line. Now, the bad news is if you don't win, that money is going to roll over till next week. And somebody could be playing for $300 for their charity.
I went ahead this weekend. I watched every single episode of Survivor in history.
Did not. You know what? You were looking for Pokemon.
You're right. You're right. I was shiny hunting this weekend. I'm not going to lie.
I heard you did a stream where you ranked all the survivors you could beat up in a fight. Is that true, Brando?
I did. And number one on my list of people who I could, you know, first round knock out, Tony. Tony, you know what? If you're listening to this, this is an official call out. Let's get in the ring. This is legally Tony. That was a joke. I'm scared of you.
Mm-hmm. Are you worried about the sneak attack from the Spy Shack?
From the Spy Shack? Yeah. You know what? I've talked to Sifu a good amount, so I know how to watch my own back at this point.
Did you really rank who you could beat in a fight or like a Pokemon fight?
No, like a physical fight. I ranked who I could beat.
So can you give me some of the people? Did I come up?
Well, Survivor winners. So yes. Unfortunately, Rob, you did not come up.
Yes. Okay. So luckily I was able to skip a beatdown from Brando.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, Cochran, top of the list. I think, you know, I've met him before.
Yeah.
You really
got
nice
him.
Guy.
You
I think
got
I can take Cochran.
You got
I don't know people. Yeah. Brando's a pretty tall guy.
He is.
Yeah. I'm actually 6'4".
Yeah. He's got a good reach. So I think definitely. Who are some of the other winners that you could beat up?
So winners that I can't beat up, actually, you know, I had Rob and Amber in their own category. Cause I think, you know, 2v1 fight, that's kind of unfair.
I think you could probably I think you like, you know, if you were so inclined to beat up a woman, like I think you could, but then I think that Boston Rob would murder you instantly. Uh-huh. So
you know,
it would be a short lived victory, I think, for you.
Yeah. A lot more people in the I would lose the fight than the I would win the fight category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which
okay.
Might not be a surprise.
Well, you know, a big part of winning Survivor is often that people are physically fit. Now, did you fight people in their current era, or did you fight people like in their prime when they won Survivor?
Right.
Like,
it was
like, are you fighting Tina Wesson now, or are you fighting Tina Wesson circa 2001?
Tina would have been circa 2001, which, you know, in 2001, I was a small guy. You know, I was 1 year old.
Oh, so you're the age that you were during their season.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Just a,
it's you know. Now versus them in their prime.
Mm-hmm. Me now versus them in their prime. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Rob, what does it feel like to be the best survivor to never fight Brando?
I think many survivors have not fought Brando.
I mean, hey, you never know. You never know what's on the cards.
You never know. Okay.
2025.
And speaking of you never know what's on the cards, it's time to hear what Jordan has up his sleeve for trivia about episode 3. You want to drive that home because that was very unclear throughout the first 2 weeks of this show.
That's true. So Marianne did bring up the point that she did not realize that we were going away from the old Twitch rules. We're not looking at the calendar. We're just talking about the week in Survivor history. So these are all of the episode threes. I have six questions. I am going to tell you the seasons that I have. You could choose which season you get. Brando, you'll get to choose first. Awesome. If you get the question right, it without multiple choice, you get 2 points. If you get it right with multiple choice, you get 1 point. And if you get it wrong, your opponent can steal the point. So, Brando, here are the season three, the episodes that we have that we're going to be talking about, the season threes. We have Australian Outback, Africa, South Pacific, Kagyan, Season 44 and season 41.
Ooh, let's run season 41.
Okay, season 41, you're a new era Titan and you're going to start in the new era. So here's the question. Who originally found the Beware advantage, which instructed the finder to say the secret phrase, "I didn't realize this till now, broccoli is just a bunch of small trees"?
I'm going to go with Brad.
Brad Reese is correct. So Brando, for 2 points, you get it. I had to say originally there because Shan eventually did get that phrase. Brad did sort of butcher the phrase. He said, "The fact is, I'm just turning into a bit of a twig with kind of a fuzzy top. I feel like broccoli grows in little bunches on small trees. So I feel like little broccoli, like a little broccoli tree." So Brad did not say the phrase correctly, but he was the one who had the phrase. Brando, you start off strong. 2 points, baby.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Pretty easy one to start off with.
Easy question. It's pretty recent. Yeah. And Rob, there is a new era question there that you could take. There's a Survivor 41, or if you go to one of the other seasons.
So you ran through the list of categories and seasons so quickly. I was
keeping
trying
it tight,
to write
Rob,
them down.
Keeping it tight.
Well, okay, but Australia, Africa, what, and what?
South Pacific and Kagyan and 41. And 41 is gone. 44 is left.
Okay. I'm going to let me take the 44 question off the board.
44, we're staying in the new era. Season 44, at the Soka Tribal Council, in which Claire Rafsid was voted out, only 4 votes were cast. Which 2 players at that tribal did not cast a vote?
2 players did not cast a vote. I'm going to say it was Matt Blankenship and Claire herself.
So Matt lost his vote at the summit. Claire played her shot in the dark, so she couldn't vote. Rob, you start with 2 points as well. So 2 new era seasons. You guys knocked it out of the park. And we're going to go back to Brando. Australia, Africa, South Pacific, or Kagyan?
Give me Kagyan. Recency bias.
All right. Kagyan, one of my favorite seasons, maybe my favorite season. Despite certain players on the Brawn tribe attempting to throw the immunity challenge, they still defeated the Brain tribe, who voted out Jatia. Who were the attempting challenge throwers on Brawn trying to eliminate?
I think I'm going to have to go multiple choice on this one. I'm going to be honest.
All right, so multiple choice. This is going to be for 1 point. A, Cliff Robinson. B, Lindsay Ogle. C, Trish Hegarty. Or D, Wu. Who were the people throwing the challenge trying to eliminate?
And I'm picking more than one option here?
No, you're picking one. You're picking one. Okay. It's either Cliff, Lindsay, Trish, or Wu.
Give me Lindsay.
Lindsay is incorrect. So, Rob, you can potentially steal the point here.
Who is the late, great Cliff Robinson?
Cliff Robinson is correct. Lindsay ends up. So Cliff is eventually blindsided by this group once they swapped. Lindsay, of course, quits afterwards. But yes, they are trying to throw the challenge. But Cliff, basketball player, gets put on the basketball portion of the challenge. So he ends up beating the hapless Brains tribe. So Rob steals the point. You have a 3-2 lead, Rob, and you get to pick the next category.
Okay, I'm going to go to the Australian Outback.
All right, the Wayback Machine, going to the Australian Outback. This is Tina Wesson's season, fresh off of fighting Brando. At the third tribal in which Mad Dog was voted out 5-1-1, who did Keith Famy cast a vote against, which would loom large in a future previous votes tiebreaker?
I believe it was Mitchell Olson.
Mitchell Olson. So at the very next tribal council, the votes would actually be tied 3-3 on Mitchell and Keith. So he potentially saved himself by doing this. You are correct, Rob. Mitchell is the correct answer. Rob, you have a 5-2 lead. We have two questions left. So Brenda, you can catch up here.
Yeah.
Looking good though.
One of the best Talking with T-Bird episodes with Mad Dog.
Love the Mad Dog episode. I think that was my favorite Talking with T-Bird episode, and I love those podcasts. Mad Dog, one of my favorite old era Survivor players, who unfortunately didn't get to make it too far, but she made such an impact in her three episodes of work. Brando, you have either Africa or South Pacific.
I'm gonna keep working backwards. Let's go to South Pacific.
All right, South Pacific. Who won the first Redemption Island duel of Survivor South Pacific?
I'm gonna go with Ozzy. I have no clue.
Is incorrect, Rob. You
wait, let him get the multiple choices.
Okay,
Jordan.
I'll give you the multiple choice.
I'll take the pity multiple choice.
The pity multiple choice. We have A, Christine Murkowski, B, Papa Bear, C, Semhar, or D, Stacey Powell.
Give me Semhar.
Semhar, unfortunately, is incorrect. Rob, you can steal a point here.
Who are the choices again?
It's Christine, Papa Bear, Semhar's been said already, or Stacey.
Who won the first duel
of South Pacific
in Survivor South Pacific? It was Christine, right?
It was Christine. Christine won most of the duels leading up to Ozzy. Eventually, did win his way back into the game, but the first duel was Christine against Semhar, and Christine won. So, Rob, you get a point there, and Brando, unfortunately, you have been mathematically eliminated. We have one question left. It's Africa. Should we make this a team effort? Should we make this a team effort?
Sure.
Rob? You could work together on this one. Survivor
Sounds
Africa.
Good.
Okay. So, who from the younger Samburu group used beads from their own necklace to make necklaces for the rest of their alliance, which excluded the four other tribe members?
We're gonna talk it through. It wasn't Silas. But I don't remember. Was it Lindsay, Kim, or another Brandon?
You know, my first thought was Brandon, purely because of my own bias.
And I know Jordan is going to give us multiple choices, and that it's going to be exactly those four.
Multiple choice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Lindsay, but okay. Let's just hold on for a second. Brando, have you weighed in on the Randin in Survivor 46?
So a few weeks ago, actually, I gave every Survivor 46 player a Pokemon. And so Randin was Dugtrio to complete the Brandon, Brando, and Randin, you know, trifecta.
Yes. Okay. I think it was Lindsay.
You think it was Lindsay? Brando, you agree?
You know what? I'm going to agree. I was very young when the season came out.
Yes, this was a long time ago, and it sometimes, I would say, going against Rob on a old era from single digit Survivor, it's usually good to go with his answer, and he is correct. Lindsay Richter is the right answer.
I did get the Survivor 44 question right.
You did. I'm giving you each a point. Rob, you finished with 7. Brando, you finished with 3. So Rob won several to 3. And Brando, unfortunately, great charity choice, but the money is going to be rolling over to next week, where next week's player will get to potentially win $300 for their charity. And you both did such a good job, I have a verbal rebus.
Brando, have you heard of the verbal rebus puzzle?
I have. And one more thing, too, not the first loser, so that feels a little bit better. But I will be matching my own 100 for the money that I missed.
Okay.
For the charity.
All right. Look at Brando.
I love it. And anyone who's listening, I'm sure we'll give a website in the notes or something that if anybody would like to.
Boy, you're very confident in the Robin's podcast staff, Jordan.
Yeah. Hey, it's the
you have
the
a little staff. More confidence than I do. I wouldn't have just thrown out an enchilada like that.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll get a link in the show notes after we send it.
You all have Google. You guys have Google. Google. It's the Alzheimer's Alzheimer's Foundation.
Yes. Yes. Alzheimer's Foundation of America.
Okay.
Okay. So Google it. Use your Google. All right. Here's the verbal rebus. We are going. So we need the player who told Dawn to take out her teeth.
Okay.
All right. Plus the first letter of the player whose secret phrase was, "I'm confused as a goat on AstroTurf." So just the first letter of his first name.
Okay.
plus Rob sees All Star Tribe.
Okay.
Minus the first letter of Drew Christie's brother's first name.
Okay.
Plus the first letter of the name of Survivor's first quitter.
Okay.
So who do we got? So who's the player who told Dawn to take out her teeth?
Brenda.
Brenda.
All right. This confused as it goes on AstroTurf.
Nasir.
So we have an N. So we have Brenda plus N. We have Rob. What was your tribe on All Stars?
Shapara.
Minus the first letter of Drew Christie's brother.
Alex.
A.
Yep. Alex with an A. So we have Shapara. And plus the first letter of the name of Survivor's first quitter.
Austin,
which for some reason starts with an O. And who do we have?
Brendan Shapiro,
yes. My fellow physical education teacher, episode 3 casualty. And you guys, I thought you guys did a great job on this game. Okay. Nice job, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Brando, what's coming up for you?
So yeah, I've been streaming on Twitch, every week, Saturday, 6 p.m., hoping to get more streams in. But yeah, twitch.tv/fifthbootbrando. Having a great time doing, Survivor content, Pokemon content, all sorts of stuff.
I heard you were going to make a pizza on Twitch.
Yeah. So this weekend, my plan is to make a pizza where chat decides the ingredients. So if you want to see me.
Now, what if they decide like disgusting, like Eye of Newt?
Well, thankfully I'm buying the ingredients, so I can limit it. But we'll
chat
have
is going to be like, Brando, what's in the fridge?
Yeah, my fridge, one bed, one bath apartment by myself. I'm not going to lie. It's empty right now. Absolutely empty. So, okay. I got a shopping trip in my future.
All right. Well, good luck, Brando. Thanks for coming on. Hope we get you on again soon. Jordan Kalish.
Yeah, I will shout out Brandon's Twitch account. I did watch the last pizza making. I was planning on watching for a few minutes. I ended up watching for, I think, over an hour. It was very entertaining. So I enjoyed it. I will say, not a fan of the pineapple, but that's okay. That's not
teach
my
throat. Yeah. Teach the road.
You could follow me on Twitter at Jordan Kalish. Again, I always do the New York Survivor viewing parties. If you're ever in the New York area or you live in New York, feel free to reach out and I'll let you know what the details on that. Twitch next week. We'll have another trivia titan of the new era, hopefully winning $300 for their charity, or for your Rob, hopefully not winning $300 for their charity.
Well, you gotta pay it somehow,
I know.
But it would be very exciting if this prize pod kept growing.
If you win every game for the rest of the season, does it roll over to next season?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that could you imagine? Like we get to get on a real heater and it's like, all right, the prize pot is $3,700.
Yeah. At some point you are like, you're the full villain of this podcast where you're just like withholding all this
but
money.
But at some
charity.
Point, some charity's going to get the money.
Look, Dwight won. I know that there are plenty of,
Dwight's
got to
come back. Yeah.
Dwight's got to come back. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are some people who
Dwight's got to come back and you got to ask him all questions about his own season.
That's true. Well, I could have put, maybe I should have put some season 40, 45 questions on.
Okay.
Here.
All right.
That's okay.
Jordan Kalish, everybody. All right. And thank you so much for joining us here for another exciting episode of Twitch. And then we've got a big Thursday here on Rob as a Podcast, Survivor Know-It-Alls. And then we're kicking off the Amazing Race season with Mike and Jess. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.